Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first lesson continues our readings from the book of Acts. This morning we look at the 17th chapter, verses 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, the Apostle Paul was in one of the great cities of the world. It was Romanized Greece, the city of Athens. Gathered on the top of a rock outcropping on the edge of the city, the Stoics and the Epicureans had gathered to discuss the current philosophies that they like to debate. Paul had an invitation to share with them. And so Paul shared God's word. And how did those philosophers gauge God's word? They said, "You have some strange ideas that you are sharing with us." These strange ideas were the word of God. That was foolishness to these men. Incidentally, Paul's sermon on the Areopagus is still there today. It's on a bronze plaque on the side of that outcropping of rock. And so the Apostle Paul took that opportunity to share with these philosophers and to proclaim the God who acts from creation to judgment. He told them that he created men so that they would seek and find him, and that he will judge the world with justice by Christ. This group of Stoic and Epicurean philosophers who were meeting on top of this rock outcropping took on the name of it, the Areopagus, which means Mars Hill. So it was there near the Acropolis, outside of the city, that these men gathered. Unlike so many today who are not willing to listen to things that they don't know or things that they don't believe and don't want to hear. These were wise men, philosophers who were open to all different arguments and debates about the gods and their relationship to mankind. And so these men listened to what Paul had to say. But more about that later. When Paul proclaimed God's word to them, he did very much as Peter described in our second lesson. When Paul spoke that name and that word in which he had his hope, he spoke to those men directly, but he also spoke to them respectfully. He played on their natural knowledge of God that had revealed itself in all of these different temples to idols that were scattered around the city. He said to them, "I see that you men are very religious." Literally, the word means superstitious. Today, they would say, "Oh, we don't belong to a church, but we're spiritual." That's really where they were coming from. But Paul used that, and he played on that. Respectfully saying, I can see that you have that natural knowledge of God, but I see also that even though you've made all these other idols of silver and gold and stone, and you've placed them in hand-built temples, and you've taken them food and drink and women, but I see that you even have one to an unknown God. Maybe they wanted to cover all their bases and make sure they didn't miss anybody. But where that was really coming from was that natural knowledge that the true God exists. But natural man cannot by himself know who that God is. He is unknown. And his works are unknown to us. And so Paul began at that place. He said, "The God that to you is unknown, I am going to point him to you. I'm going to point him out to you to make him known." And who is he? He is the God who made the world and everything in it. The Lord of heaven and earth does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. The true God is not some statue that you can put him completely and totally inside a man-made building, like these idols. And Paul asked a very good question, really in a statement. What could God possibly need from us to exist? Why would you bring him food and drink? He is God who lives and moves and is, literally, he exists. And he gives everything to us to exist. We don't give him things to exist. He gives us everything to exist. He created the world and everything in it. Sometimes people ask me, what's the big deal about whether you believe in biblical creation or not? Is it really important to believe what the Bible says about creation? Of course. Because everything goes in a straight line from God's creating the universe and the world and everything in it. All human beings that he put on that earth. His plan of salvation for lost sinners. Finally, that judgment that is going to take place under the authority of Christ, whom the Father raised from the dead. Friends, there is no circle of life. Life is a direct line from creation to judgment. It's a straight line from your creation to your judgment by Jesus Christ. And we will be judged by Him whom God raised from the dead. So it's important to believe in creation as God reveals it, because then we know who the true God is and what that true God has done and how we fit in that timeline of the history of the world. God created literally out of one blood all nations of men. Did you ever think about that? Think of all the nations that came into being after the Tower of Babel. Think of all the different nations in the world today. The different colors of skin and languages and cultures and physical traits. But what is the one thing we physically share with every other human being? Our blood. We could get blood of our type from any other human being that has that type. We could give our blood to a person of any nation, because out of one blood, out of one man, Adam, God has created all nations of men. He determined who your parents would be. He determined where you would live. He has already determined the number of the days of your life on this earth. As we talked about yesterday in Cloanne's brother's memorial, He has determined your time of grace, that length of your life from your birth to judgment, for one thing needed, to see Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. God gives man a time of grace. He let that natural knowledge of God remain in man's heart so that man would possibly try to find out who that unknown God that his heart tells him exists is. That he would seek Him, and perhaps stumbling around in the dark would sort of come upon Him and find Him. That's not the way it works, of course. But Paul reminded them that God is not that far away from any human being. Not only because He fills all things and is present everywhere, but God is very near to us through the signs of nature, through the signs of our own conscience. We know that God is right there with us. And it is only by the revelation of Jesus Christ and God's word of the true God that people can tear down their altars to their idols. They can remove that idol in their heart to an unknown God. As like Paul, you and I share that hope that is in us and tell people that God is the one who created everything, who takes care of everything. God is the one who loved the fallen world, loved you, and sent Jesus to be your Savior. And one day will judge you on the basis of your faith in Him or unbelief. He will judge you in His righteous word. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. We cannot discern God without the revelation of His name and His work. And that's what Paul was doing there on Mars Hill. And here he is our example of how to share Christ, to simply proclaim the Creator, to proclaim the Redeemer, to proclaim the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, so that people may know who the true God is. God is near us in His presence, and He is near us in His Word, the gospel of forgiveness and life in Christ. Biblical creation is important because it is the first step to final judgment. It is the act of the same God who made everything, including us, who will finally judge everything, including us. Men need to seek and to find the true God in His Word and to put their faith in Him so that they can stand on the last day, because He will judge the world with justice in Christ. Why is a belief in biblical creation important? Because it is a belief that I am God's offspring, that I am from God, that God made my first parents, and my first parents made all of my ancestors that have now given me life. Without creation, there is no sense at all that I belong to God, or that His Word matters, or that I show my love for Him and for my Father by obeying His commandments. Paul very wisely, Paul was a good philosopher too. Paul said, you know, even Aretas, even one of your own big shot poets said, we are His offspring. Even this heathen knew that man doesn't evolve from a lower form of life. Even this heathen knew that mankind are the creations of God. Now to him, Aretas didn't know who that true God was, but he knew that that God was responsible for mankind. He really hit on the fact, and this is where it's proper to say, that all people are the children of God. All people are the children of God in this sense, that God has made us all, that God has given all of us life, and we will have that life so long as He has determined. For centuries before this, God, Paul says, was patient about the ignorance of people who worshiped false gods. And that's really a reference to the fact that in the Old Testament, only Israel really had the promise of the Savior. But now, Paul says, God wants all men to repent, as that good news of the Savior extended beyond Israel and extended out over all nations. Paul is really referencing here that change now from God's giving His Word only basically to His people, although not exclusively, to now that Word going out into all the world. And there was Paul talking to these Greek philosophers. Paul says Christ directs all people everywhere to repent. God has revealed His Son to all nations, and that Son's redemption. As I said, there's no circle of life. All people are on the direct path from our creation to the judgment seat of Christ. To deny creation is to deny judgment. To deny judgment is to deny the judge. To deny the judge is to deny the resurrected and living Jesus Christ. Luke tells us that when Paul mentioned the resurrection, a little bit later he tells us that it raised the eyebrows of the Stoics and the Epicureans. As I said, unlike many people today who won't even listen to different discussions and facts or arguments, these men did listen to what Paul had to say. Now, some of them didn't believe it. Some of them rejected it, and they basically said, you know, this is really nonsense, and they sneered at what Paul said. But then Luke writes these words of some of those philosophers. They said to Paul, "We want to hear you again on this subject." And that subject is Christ's resurrection. And then Luke tells us that many listened further and they became followers of Paul. And they continued to listen to that word of God that Paul shared. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is proof of creation and its purpose. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is proof of the commonality of all nations in one blood, in one sin, in one redemption, in one justification. Jesus' resurrection is his credential as judge before whom you will stand. And all of us will stand either on his right hand through faith or on his left hand in unbelief. The Apostle Paul gives us a good model of how to proclaim the true God to people who do not know him. Proclaim the God who lives from creation through judgment. Proclaim God who acts from creation to judgment. Honestly, they may not erect a plaque to you on the spot where you shared God's word with them, but some will rejoice with you throughout all eternity. Amen.